At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. We are now pretty much a third into the MLB season. Usually, this is an episode of Clown Takes, but the circus was out of town this week. Not a whole lot going on, so we decided to take a big look at the grander picture of the whole MLB landscape, the potential playoff pictures that could be happening as we get later on into the season, and we got some takes on what that could look like. So we're going to give you our early season playoff projections, ideas, how we feel about how that looks. So we're going to be breaking all that down. I'm your host, Jason Kelly, coming to you from Canton, Massachusetts. With me on the show from Boca Raton, Florida, by way of Centerville, Mass, is Jeremy Schilling. Jeremy, you ready to do this?
Let's do it. Let's be wrong.
Yeah. Most likely we will be wrong because it is very early, but it's also not too early. So we'll see. Also with us on the show from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, by way of Windham, Maine, Terry Cushman. Terry, you ready to do this?
I'm ready. I mean, this, we have an existing playoff bracket in front of us. If it were to start today, we have the exact brackets, the exact matchups, and this has got me excited for October baseball. Like this, there's going to be some compelling matchups.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it's one of those things you don't think about too early on, because early on, like especially heading into June, you're just worried about, are we still relevant? Are we still over 500? Are we near 500? Are we kind of competing for a wild card? We brought that up on the other show. But now we have playoff brackets that have been presented. If the playoffs were to end, and again, this was if the playoffs were to end today, which is probably a few days before this recording, but still pretty relevant. Like, it gives you a good idea of, like, who's actually performing pretty well this year, and there might be some surprises, and, you know, it's a good way to kind of look at the whole landscape. So we're going to break it down, and a lot of teams that are in there, you would expect there's a few that are definitely, you know, regulars you'd expect to be in there. But Terry, I'm going to start with you. When you look at this bracket, and again, like, this is a visual thing, so, you know, the listeners can't really see this, but is there a team that's in there that really surprises you? And it's kind of in there that you thought, I didn't expect them to really be in there.
On the American League side, at quick glance, you might say the Royals, but my preseason pick in the AL Central was the Royals, so I'm not overly shocked, but it is the one team that doesn't look like it belongs there based on the last few years.
Jeremy, how about you? Any surprises on your end?
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to agree. It's a boring take to just agree with Terry. and maybe what we'll do is the Bastards Twitter account will tweet this at the time we drop the episode so people can go open up the bracket we're looking at. It's just a little bit surprising. When you look at the standings, you know, you'd think the Astros would be there. Texas was in the World Series a year ago. They're 3.5 back of a wild card spot. Houston 6 back. Toronto, which I thought was going to be a good team, and I would have put it ahead of Kansas City at you know, on opening day. They're 4 back. Tampa, who's been traditionally a good regular season team, they're 3.5 back. Specifically to me, I think one of those three or four teams is going to find its way in. You know, they're going to find their median, which is better than they've been, and they'll be in. But that's not what we're doing. We're doing a third of the way through the season. So Kansas City's the sixth seed.
I think on my end, I'm a little surprised that Philadelphia is still in first place over Atlanta. And I know that Acuña just got hurt. I know that Strider is probably out for the year, but that organization has so much depth and they're so good at what they do. And I'm not saying Philly isn't, but I just feel like Atlanta, they should still run that division because it's basically a two-horse race. It's them or the Phillies. And I feel like Atlanta, their lineup is so much better. Their rotation, again, like, who knows if Chris Sale is going to stay healthy the whole year. But if he's doing what he's doing now into the second half of the season, I just don't see how Atlanta doesn't still somehow win that division. And I believe me, Philly is, they're good. Like, they've got a great offense. Their starting rotation is not to be ignored because they do have a good, you know, one through four, even in that rotation. I just think Atlanta can still pass them. And apart from that, the other surprise to me is that, you know, Kansas City's in there as a number five seed, but that they're in there. And I think a lot of people look to Kansas City going, well, they're rebuilding. Yes, they re-signed Bobby Witt to this big extension, which, good for them, they should have. But they didn't do much. Well, they didn't do much except sign Seth Lugo, who's been the best pitcher in the American League through the first half.
Michael Wacha, though, another low-key.
Another one. Yeah, exactly. So they signed pitching. Shocker. Yeah, what a concept. Going out and getting pitching. But they did. And I heard so many Red Sox fans be like, oh, what a stupid contract to give Seth Lugo. What a stupid contract to give Michael Wacha. Oh, that's dumb. That won't do them any good. Well, right now they're the number five seed. Where are you? Out of the playoff picture. So, you know.
They're 13 games over 500. They're a good team.
Yeah. Kansas City's a very good team. Yep. Because they added pitching. They have young guys coming up that are developing. They also signed some veterans. So it's kind of good to see, like, I think it's nice to see teams that are still developing and building that are in the playoff picture and teams that are being aggressive, going out, signing free agents along with their young talent, like Kansas City, that are in the playoff picture. So I know a lot of Red Sox fans probably won't like this segment, but there's a reason why you're not in there. You just didn't do enough. And Terry, I want to ask you this question because I know that I don't know how many of us picked the Yankees to go, you know, into the playoffs, into the World Series, whatever, but they were aggressive. They went out and traded for Juan Soto. They lost Garrett Cole. They lost their best starting pitcher. So they lost Garrett Cole, but they traded for Juan Soto. They went out and got Alex Verdugo. Not a big deal, whatever. They have so many bad contracts on their team, but yet in this picture, they're the two seed. So they're a big market team that has made mistakes, but they're still in there. So how come they're in there and the Red Sox, who, according to everybody, have the best farm system, have a quote-unquote big three coming up, and don't have any quote-unquote bad contracts, but they're not in there? Why do you think that is?
Well, last year the Yankees underperformed. They were better than they were. And this year, I mean, Luis Gil has been a revelation, kind of came out of nowhere. Carlos Rodon finally healthy for the first time in 3 or 4 years. So I think that's all kind of played to it. And then, of course, the Soto acquisition. So it's a combination of a bunch of things, really, you know, not underperforming, better pitching, and Judge has been healthy so far. And I'm not... But this is going to be my biggest whiff of my preseason predictions, but I didn't have the Yankees making it after last year. I didn't foresee the pitching would be this good, and I like the Soto acquisition, but I just didn't think it was all going to be impactful enough. And Anthony Volpe has just been off the charts. So I couldn't have been more wrong with New York. And that's another team that's a wagon.
What do you think about Steinbrenner's recent comments where he stated this week that they're going to be lowering payroll moving into 2025? And the timing of it is absurd because Soto is going to be a free agent. So you'd think that they would want to try to keep the player. So they're in effect doing two things. They're telling you they're not going to re-sign Soto and they're going to be looking to cut payroll. Do you think that's going to have an effect on the second half of the season?
No, and those comments came out about 72 hours after Steinbrenner said that they had hoped to extend Soto. So what I was thinking took place in between those two is maybe they took Boris's temperature on what a deal might look like, and then it wasn't what Steinbrenner wanted, so then you got the, oh, we might lower payroll. Because if the Yankees drop out of it, who's gonna give Soto over $500 million? Who's gonna give him that?
So you think that it was more of commentary trying to calm the Soto camp down to try to have a chance to get him more than it was a real thing?
I think it was Steinbrenner kind of twisting Boris's arm and it just kind of posturing.
The crazy thing about baseball is every year that I remember the exact saying, I think it's like it only takes one dumb team, you know?
And you're right.
And I, of course, I always go to the Mets as the one dumb team. So you just don't know. Obviously, I think the Dodgers have to be out of money. I mean, they can't be the Dodgers. So there's going to be one dumb team. But if that's what Steinbrenner was doing, that's a crafty move, and I kind of have respect for it.
So I'll say this for Steinbrenner, and I think Hal is not as – I don't want to say suave. He's not as aggressive and as impactful as his dad. George was a menace, and that's why he was one of the best to ever do it. But I think Hal is saying these things because he's sort of saying, look, you know, prices are going to go up, and Soto wants $500 million, and that's too much to commit to one player. And as much as, like, Yankees fans get pissed at that, and don't get me wrong, I love Yankees fans getting pissed and getting surly. Like, it makes me so happy. This week has been great on Twitter because seeing Yankees fans getting all upset about John Heyman reports and all that has been so awesome. But I think what he's doing is he's basically saying, like, we're not going to pay him, but I know someone else will. I know some other stupid team in America will. So I wouldn't be shocked if he's traded by the trade deadline. And I know the Yankees are still in it, but if they're at a point where they're not a top team, if Gerrit Cole's still quite not ready to get back, Aaron Judge might be hurt by then because, you know, he tends to be. And they're just not quite performing the way they are now. If they get a ridiculous, stupid offer from, let's say, oh, I don't know, a team that's desperate to win like the Dodgers or whatever, I could see them doing it. I think what you heard was the ownership officially blending in with the front office and Brian Cashman being like, in terms of Juan Soto, we are involved. It's not just you. Because if it was up to Cashman, they know that he can't pull that off. I think it's a combined effort now, and I think they're happy that they're winning, but I think they know we're not quite there. And if by the end of the trade deadline, they're not, you know, a top team and they don't feel like they can win, they'll make a drastic move. And they might pull up the biggest heist in MLB history.
There's two things that are going to make that extremely difficult. Number one, that fan base is not going to stand for that. And number two, he's on an expiring deal. You're not going to get a haul at that time. It's not going to work that way. But I would say this. Let's find out how far they're going to advance based on where the standings are today. So, Terry, why don't you start us off with your prediction as far as the divisional round. I'm sorry, the wild card round.
Yeah, the wild card round. Let me pull it back up right here. All right, so starting at the top of the bracket, the first matchup's it's a tougher matchup. I mean, they're pretty even. They're both pitcher heavy, but I'm going to go with the team with the GM that's been known to be more aggressive, and that's Jerry DePoto with the Mariners. So I'm going to move the Mariners ahead over the Twins.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they're a team still on the rise. I think their pitching's excellent. I think they got Julio Rodriguez, who's a superstar. I know it was mentioned earlier that he's off to a slow start, but he seems to embrace the big moment. It's the type of series where I feel like he's going to leave his imprint and they advance.
Yeah, I like the Mariners in that series too. I mean, I think the Mariners should go pretty far this year. I just think Julio's off to a slow start, but their pitching is so good. Like, there's no way that Seattle's going to, you know, not make it that far. Minnesota, to me, like, it's partially a bias, I agree, but like, every time they're in the playoffs, I'm like, well, they're just in there to lose to whoever they face because they just don't have a good playoff record. So I love Seattle's pitching staff. I think they will add at the deadline because their GM is super aggressive. So they're going to add. They're going to go for it. I think Seattle gets past them.
So, Terry, why don't you stay in that order with the Orioles and the Kansas City wildcard series?
I've had this infatuation with the Royals since last winter. I love the fact that they've been aggressive, that they've kind of committed themselves to winning, something they haven't done in almost a decade, but I can't pick against that Orioles team. I mean, they're just so well balanced, and I even wonder if they'll get their closer back before the playoffs, Bautista. He had Tommy John. It'll have been about a year at that point. So I don't know where he's at in his rehab, but that would be a major acquisition to simply just get him back. And there's no way I can pick against the Orioles that early.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting into a bad habit of agreeing with you here. But I think that there's a chance they win the division. And we're not talking about them this early in the playoff bracket. And also, spoiler alert, I like them to go to the World Series here. So I think this is they roll. Obviously, and this is the inherent difficulty with doing this at a third of the season. You don't know who's healthy. You don't know who's going to be the three in the rotation. You know, there's going to be an emerging prospect on a lot of these rosters that has a real impact. So, I mean, it's difficult. But if I'm going based on what I've seen through 50-something games, close to 60 games. I wish the Red Sox were the Orioles, and yeah, I have them advancing.
I absolutely have the Orioles advancing, and I think they will be aggressive at the deadline because they have a couple positions that are blocked by veterans that they could deal, and they've got young guys coming up like Jorge Mateo is going to be dealt at some point. Maybe by the deadline, at the very least by this offseason, because Jackson Holliday is coming. I know that he struggled when he first came up, but he's their next coming everyday second baseman, whatever. Same with Anthony Santander, who has been a really good player for them for a long time, but I'm going to butcher his name. I'm sorry. Hasten Kerstad, however you pronounce that. He's their right field prospect that is basically knocking down the door to be the right fielder. And Santander has been a good player for them for a long time. He's kind of struggled this year. He's barely hitting over 200. So I think that they're going to make moves. I think Baltimore is going to be aggressive. They're going to trade away some of those veterans like Mateo, like Santander, add to whatever they got, and they're going to be a wagon. So I got them. If they're facing Kansas City, if this holds, which, again, it's early, whatever, but if it holds, not even close. They're going to blow past them.
All right, so this makes it easy because we all have the same teams advancing. So, Terry, we got Seattle going to New York for a five-game divisional series. Who you got?
I like the Yankees. I mean, they're just as good from a pitching standpoint, at least at this point in the season. And if they get Cole back, I mean, Rodon could regress a little. Heel could regress a little. They're still going to have a great rotation with Cole back in there. And their offense is like nuclear compared to what the Mariners have. So I would put the Yankees moving forward over the Mariners.
Yeah, so I don't disagree with a lot of what you're saying, but I have the Mariners based on spite.
Okay. That's a good reason. Mariners,
I'll have my my Julio Rodriguez jersey on for that series.
That's a great reason.
That's a tough one. I got the Yankees too, because I do think the Mariners will be aggressive at the deadline, but I think they'll make a dumb move. Like, I think they'll be aggressive, but I think they'll make the wrong move at the deadline. And not that I'm a big believer in Cashman, but I feel like he'll look at his roster and go, well, if I can get Cole back and I can just kind of maybe add a small piece, you know, at the deadline and not give up too much, that might be enough to get past Seattle. Yeah, for sure. So I got the Yankees advancing in that one. I just think Seattle's going to get too aggressive, too dumb. He's going to make a dumb move and it's not going to work out.
So Terry, divisional round, we got Baltimore, the Orioles advancing to play the Guardians. Who you got?
The Guardians could be sneaky here. They've had a bottom 10 offense for the better part of the last decade. And, you know, they've been all pitching and it's been good enough to win the division and perhaps go a round or two in the playoffs. But that Baltimore vibe, man, their pitching is almost as good, if not as good. And their offense, you know, is basically nuclear, a lot like the Yankees do. And they've got the farm system to make the bigger deadline move as well. So I'm going to put the Orioles into the ALCS against the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, I've already told the group here I'm going Orioles. I think the Guardians are a little bit fake good. The Orioles are just, like, athletic. They do just everything well, in my opinion. I might have goggles on because we just watched them pound the Red Sox, but I personally think they're going to end up being the best team in the American League, and I think they're going to beat the Guardians. There's another thing I just want to mention quickly. Baseball is such a different sport with regards to rest. And that playing that wild card series, I'm not saying it's an advantage, but I think given the right circumstances, it could be. And when all of a sudden you're playing every day or 6 days a week at a minimum for 6 months, and then all of a sudden you have a day off for the end of the season and then the three game set and maybe a day off, so you're not playing for 5 days. I think that's a factor in these situations. Again, I think the Orioles are going to end up winning the East. But if they don't and they're advancing here to play the Guardians, you know, I think they're the better team. I think they'll be sharper. I think their starters will be sharper because they'll be pitching in the wild card series. And for that reason, you know, I have them advancing.
I agree. Yeah, I got Baltimore over Cleveland. I do like Cleveland. You know, they're kind of the plucky little team there. They've lost some gusto with their pitching. I'm not sure Stephen Vogt is. I think he's a good manager, but like taking over for Terry Francona, like that's a hell of a task. And Baltimore is just, they can slug. Cleveland can't. You know, it's that matchup is going to come down to like pitching versus like who can score the most runs. And Baltimore, as we've seen, they can put up runs in a hurry. So I like Baltimore's lineup much more than Cleveland's. I think Baltimore can kind of easily get past them. So yeah, I got them going too.
All right, so now we're at the ALCS. You guys have the Yankees versus the Orioles. So who you got, Harry?
This could, if it shakes out this way, and there's a good chance it could, this could be one of the more fascinating ALCS matchups since probably the 2019 Astros-Yankees matchup. Like, two teams that are just so well-balanced, exciting players up and down the roster. I'm rooting for Baltimore, but there's a lot of members of the Yankees that have been that far before. They've been exactly that far into the ALCS, and I just got to give it to the Yankees. Garrett Cole's been there, been to the World Series, actually, with the Astros, and I hope I'm wrong. That Baltimore team is so much fun to watch, and we suck so bad, and we're not even relevant enough for me to hate the Orioles for being that good. So
I don't disagree with that. Yeah. Jason, who you got?
This is a hard one, but I'm going to go Baltimore. I think that, so Creamer's on the IL right now. He'll be back. They got Rodriguez. Like, Garrett Cole's going to come back. We know that. I don't know if he's going to be the same guy. And I kind of hate the Yankees lineup apart from Judge and Soto. And I know they got some other guys in there, but like, I don't know. I don't feel like it's that good. Like, I feel like the Orioles lineup, when they're all healthy, it's like, you know, Rushman, Couser, Henderson, like, and by that point, Jackson Holliday might be back up. He might be ready to go. Instead of him, it's, you know, instead of Mateo, it's Jackson Holliday. They just have so much depth. Like, the biggest gun the Yankees can call up is Jason Dominguez. And they've tried that, and he's kind of not great. So I don't love the Yankees' depth in terms of, like, if they get to the end, this is what they got. Whereas Baltimore, if they get to the end, they've got so much depth and they've got so many guys that they can call up. I just feel like they're the better built organization. They've got better pitching. I think their offense is better. I've got Baltimore over the Yankees.
So I'll be brief here because I've already kind of started with the headline. Seattle's run ends. It's cute. It's great. But I really just like the Orioles. As far as the American League goes, that's who I'd want to be right now if I had it my way. But we're stuck with the goddamn Red Sox. All right, so we're going to move to the National League. We got the Brewers at the Padres. Terry?
You know, the Padres have been the sexy team for a while, and they've kind of gone through a transition. They traded Soto. They don't have Blake Snell anymore. Their rotation is by far better. I mean, Dylan Cease, Michael King, Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish is still hanging on pretty good at 37, 38 years old. But they're one of the biggest underachieving teams of the last 4, 5, 6 years. And we just saw a Brewers team that could hold their own. And I could see them stepping up in that round of the playoffs with a much better offense than what they've had in recent years. And I think they'll beat the San Diego Padres. So I've got them moving ahead.
So I'm going to admit something here. With the NBA and the NHL still going, I don't watch as much National League until those sports are over. So for probably recency bias, I'm going with the Brewers. I also think San Diego is loaded with talent. A lot of it doesn't, you know, fit within the roster. You know, I know Bogaerts got hurt recently. I'm, again, ignorant towards the status of that. But, you know, recency bias, I'm going to go Brewers.
I'm going Brewers, too. I like their just overall roster better than the Padres. I think the Padres are a victim of they went for it for a short window, and it didn't work out. And now they're kind of, like, trying to scramble with what they got. They still have Machado. They still have Tatis. But Bogaerts is hurt right now. He's not quite what they hoped he was. Their rotation is taking a hit. Their bullpen is taking a hit. I like what the Brewers are doing because even though they lost Burns, like, they still have that pipeline that they've been building for numbers of years. So, like, Jackson Churio is now coming up and, like, all these guys that they've been developing. So I think Milwaukee is one of those pesky teams. I don't expect them to win the World Series, but, like, can they get past San Diego? Yes, they can. Absolutely. Like, they're just one of those teams that's – they remind me of, like, the Angels in the early 2000s. No one expects them to go all the way, but are they a problem? Yes, they are. They're tough to go against. You don't want to face them in the playoffs. So I got Milwaukee going forward in that one.
So our next series is the Giants going to the Braves for a three-game set. Terry?
This is a hard one. I think a lot of people would just say Atlanta without thinking because they're just used to that team being a wagon and going at least a couple rounds into the playoffs. But I'm not in love with Atlanta's rotation right now, minus Spencer Strider, who they thought would be a big part of this run. And you've got Chris Sale, who's kind of in the Cy Young conversation, but his postseason ERA with the Red Sox over 6, it still seems to be a long shot to me that he'll be healthy. Charlie Morton isn't pitching well. Ronaldo Lopez has had a fantastic season, probably their best pitcher from an ERA standpoint. Doesn't quite have the strikeouts Chris Sale has, but is that sustainable? And this Giants team, they quietly got themselves above 500 after being under it the whole, you know, the first 5-6 weeks of the year. I don't know. I'm going to take the Giants. I can't believe I'm doing it, but they've got a better rotation. I think Blake Snell will be, you know, sorted out by then. Logan Webb is an ace for years to come. And they made a lot of good moves this winter, and I got them beating the Braves. Can't believe I'm saying it.
For a lot of the reasons that you're stating, I don't see them winning the World Series and being quite the contender they've been in the past, especially because they won it a couple of years ago. But there's too much talent. I think people are overreacting to the Acuna injury. So I'm taking Atlanta.
It's a hard one. I'm going to take Atlanta too. I do like what the Giants did in the offseason. I love their offseason, actually. They were aggressive. They got Chapman. They got Snell. They added to what they already had was a pretty good team. But some of their young guys haven't been quite what they hoped. Kyle Harrison has been up and down. I just think Atlanta has the depth that even with Acuna and Strider out, they're okay. Like, they're still going to dominate their division. Their division sucks, apart from Philly. Like, it's them and Philly. Like, and I still think they're better than Philly. So I think Atlanta can kind of cruise on that. And as much as I love the Giants and I appreciate them for being aggressive because, like, I wish the Red Sox would do what they did, but they didn't. But again, one of their aggressive offseason moves was going out and getting Sean-Koon Lee, and he's out for the year. So, you know, it's kind of a cautionary tale. I think Atlanta's just too good. Atlanta, even though they've suffered some setbacks, they're too good. And I think they got past San Francisco. So I got the Braves moving on.
All right. So this is where we're going to diverge a little bit, because Terry went against the grain and went Padres, right, Terry?
No, I went Giants. We all had the Brewers, I think.
Okay, so Brewers, Dodgers.
I don't really need to spend a ton of time on this. I mean, the Dodgers, good rotation, good lineup. Mookie Betts could go 0 for 24 in any of these rounds like he did in the World Series last year, but I'm just going to – the Brewers can't touch the Dodgers, so –
Yeah, I mean, my analysis is similar here. You could have one or two guys fall off the face of the earth, and the roster, the lineup, it's just too good. I'm so jealous that the ownership has bought into the product and spent the money. I mean, I really am. Dodgers are a wagon. They're going to go to the NLCS.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, good for the Brewers. They'll get to this point. But, yeah, they're running into a wagon. So, Dodgers.
All right, so this is where we diverge. Terry, you have the Giants. Go ahead against the Phillies.
So, I'm going to pick the Phillies, and I'm throwing that out there because what I'm about to tell you might mislead you in me picking the Giants. But go to the playoffs 2 years ago, so that would have been 2022. The Phillies weren't looked at as a team that was going to go deep. Like, nobody was picking them to go far, and they had a couple of tough matchups. I think they faced Atlanta in the second round, beat them. But they were that team 2 years ago. Last year, it was the Diamondbacks. Everybody wrote them off round after round, and then they ended up in the World Series. If that happens this year on the National League side, it will be the Giants. But I just think this Phillies team is the team of destiny. They're loaded. And Ranger Suarez has been a beast. And Aaron Nola isn't having the off year that he had last year. That's the difference between last year's Phillies and this year's Phillies. They've got the best rotation statistically right now in Major League Baseball. And that lineup, from a production standpoint, has been robust the last few years. Their problem has been pitching all along, but I think they've got that figured out. So I've got the Phillies going to the NLCS.
With the emergence of Suarez, I think it just makes them a stronger, deeper team than they were last year. To me, they're the closest thing a baseball team can be to a hockey team. And I think they're led by Bryce Harper. He and that roster, they're tough. They're resilient. You don't feel the crowd through the TV more than you do for a home Philadelphia Phillies game for baseball. Like, the whole city galvanizes. I think they're tough as nails. They've been there before. I think they know what it's going to take. I think the failures of the last couple of years are going to push them to be better. And, you know, I would be, I know it's early, but I'd be moderately surprised if they're not in the NLCS.
I hate to do this because it's sort of like the emotional reaction to, you know, something that happened recently. But, like, I feel like the Acuna injury is going to impact the Braves more than they thought. And Philadelphia has been consistently good from the start of the season. Like, their rotation has been ridiculous. They've been scoring runs like we all thought they would. So I just feel like this is Philly's year to actually take the division and make it their own. Atlanta kind of takes a backseat for a year, despite all the talent they have. But, you know, they just lost a superstar. So, yeah, I like Philly. I like Philly going forward. And, you know, everyone mocks the Aaron Nola re-signing. You're gonna re-sign that guy to that contract. Well, he's been pretty damn good. Ranger Suarez is like borderline Cy Young candidate. Christopher Sanchez, who Charlie talks about on our show constantly, he's been great. So Philly's got the pitching staff, they got the offense. You know, if they can beat Atlanta, that's all you need in that division. They're good. So I like Philly.
All right, so we all agree. Terry, Dodgers or Phillies?
I'm taking the Philadelphia Phillies. I just think they're a better balanced team. Shohei and Mookie might be better than Philly's two best players, including Bryce Harper, but 1 through 9, I do like the Phillies a little bit better. I think they're frustrated with not being able to get it done the last couple of years, and I think they're hell-bent on it this year. So I've got the Phillies beating the Dodgers, and I'm very confident about that.
I just love the character of the Phillies. I do, and I won't go any deeper than that. I have the Phillies going against the Orioles in the World Series.
I've got the Dodgers going forward. I hate that. Like, I wish it wasn't true, because I don't want the Dodgers going forward. I want the Phillies. I want anyone but the Dodgers going forward from the National League. But, man, I don't know. If everything works out for them and they're all healthy and they're all performing pretty well, the Phillies can't match up to them. They really can't. So I got the Dodgers going all the way. It sucks, but like, I don't want it, but they're just too good. I don't know how you bet against that.
All right. So we're at the World Series and our very wrong predictions third way through the season. Terry, you have the Yankees versus the Phillies. Who you got?
I kind of tipped my hand the last round with the Phillies being the team of destiny. The Yankees just seem to choke when they get deep. They haven't even been to the World Series since 2009, but they've been to the LCS at least 4 or 5 times since then. And ironically, this would be a rematch from 2009, but I got the Phillies winning it this time. And but man, what a World Series that would be.
Yeah, so I have the Orioles. Two teams I really, really like. It puts me in a bind, but I think the star power of the Phillies puts them over the top. And so I'm going Phillies.
So remind me, I got Orioles against who?
The Dodgers.
The Dodgers, yeah.
Orioles, Dodgers, oh, tough one. I'm still gonna go Orioles. Dodgers are kind of like the, evil empire, easy choice. But I like what the Orioles are doing. I like their pitching. I just like their overall pipeline. Like, they have talent. They have guys in their minors that aren't even up yet. Like, Jackson Holliday is still developing down in AAA. And I'm going to butcher his name, but Houston Kerstad is still developing down in AAA. Like, they have so many guys that they've yet to call up. By August 1st, they might be just not just good, they might be even better, depending on who they call up and who they decide, like, you know what, you're ready, let's go. So I just think Baltimore has more talent. I know the Dodgers paid out the ass for all theirs, but I like Baltimore. I got the Orioles, at least at this stage. Yep.
All right. Well, there you have it with our likely very wrong predictions a third way through the season. Our episode in Instead of Clown Takes, as we pivoted, frankly, because we couldn't find very many clown takes this week. So for Terry and Jason, I'm Jeremy. Thanks for listening.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. all that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.